views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Hi there. You are listening to the Give Me the Joy Show with me, Lynn Horde. Tune in every second and fourth Thursday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio, where I share very practical, grounded, and not to mention fun ways to reconnect with joy in your life, your work, and your relationships. What does Give Me the Joy make you feel? Do you believe you're meant to live with more joy, but you're just not sure how to go about it? I can help. I'm Lynn Horde, the Joy Coach, founder of Joy School and the Joy at Work programs. Join me as I take you on a journey to peel back the layers so you can take back your joy. Welcome, welcome to the Give Me the Joy Show. I'm your host, Lynn Horde, and I am delighted to have you here today. So we're talking about why happy employees equate to a happy company. So that's what we're talking about today. So in case you missed it, the last episode was actually around how to find more joy in your work. So if you're an individual and you're interested in some really practical ways of finding joy in your job, even if you don't like it, then go back to the archives and have a look at that. But today we're specifically looking at it from a company perspective. So if you're a business leader or a team manager or someone who just manages staff, this one is for you. So we're looking at big picture stuff today and why, you know, companies of the future really need to be concerned about how happy their staff are. So in terms of, I'd love to give a bit of a context because we've come a long way since we started out working back in the Industrial Revolution. You know, that was a time when people turned up to the factories, they clocked in, they brought their pail of lunch, they sat for their little lunch break and they clocked out at the end of the day. And working at that time literally was more about giving me a paycheck so that I could live my life outside of work. But that's really changing now, especially with the millennial generations. They are looking for a paycheck and a purpose. So companies really need to step up their game if they want to engage those people. If they want that new generation of workers in their companies, they need to be looking at in terms of how they market themselves and how they're kind of getting in those new staff. It's like, well, what am I offering above and beyond the whole paycheck thing? And this is where the purpose piece really comes in. And I did talk about that a little bit in the last episode, and I'll also be talking about it again today. And, you know, if you take a snapshot of what's happening out there in the world right now, organizations are not necessarily seeing this for the opportunity that it is and leveraging it. So finding out, you know, what makes their people tick, you know, what helps them stay engaged at work, and we'll be getting into that. Because what can happen is, so it is the millennials kind of driving this change with we're thinking now about, you know, where can I find purpose? But it's filtering into the older generations as well. So, you know, my parents' generation, they definitely were of the ilk of like, well, I'll make money and, you know, when I get to retirement, that's when I'll get to enjoy my life. Although to be true, my dad did get to work in a job he absolutely loved for the last 10 years of his career. So he was lucky. But they certainly grew up in an era where it was like, well, you don't necessarily think about work as the place where you get your enjoyment. You get that outside of work, but that is very different now. And what's really beautiful and brilliant when it comes to finding happiness at work and bringing more joy into the workplace is it's actually good for companies. When you have happy staff, you get better results, you have better profits. And I've got some fun little facts for you today, some numbers from the research about what happens for companies who do actually have happy staff. So here's a couple of my favorites. So happy staff are actually 30% more productive when they're at work. And if there's one question I know a lot of people would love to have an answer to, it's like, how do I make my staff more productive? And keep on listening because we'll be talking about that specifically in the next section. Another favorite one of mine is staff who are happy. Actually, they're not looking to leave, which obviously means better retention rates, but they have better well-being. Their health is better, and they actually take 10 times fewer less sick days, which is like incredible in terms of the more performance and productivity, of course, at work. And another one is, and this is for all of you salespeople out there or people who manage sales, this is one you're going to be wanting to listen into. Happy salespeople close about 37% more deals. And overall, companies who have companies who are happier, have happier staff, usually produce 20% better in the marketplace than their competitors. So their profit margins are usually 20% better. So you can see there, I've just shared a couple of numbers, you know, just from a very factual point of view, because I know a lot of people want to know that, will give me reasons, give me the real bottom line benefits of why, you know, I want to make happiness and my staff happiness a priority. And therefore, that I can share with you from, you know, research that has been done in the last 10 years on what a difference it makes when companies choose to look at, okay, how can I make my staff happier? And this is evolving in the marketplace. So there's still a smaller percentage of companies who focus on helping their staff find happiness than those who don't. And it's showing, you know, those numbers alone, if they're showing that those companies are going to be moving ahead. So, I mean, if you're in a company that doesn't really focus on this or hasn't really thought about it or hasn't made it a priority yet, it's really one worth, you know, getting together with your management team, your executive suite, and really having a discussion like, you know, are we missing a trick here? And little tip, you are, because this is the future. You know, this is the future of companies who are going to be evolving, who are going to be, you know, agile in their markets. It's really going to be the difference, you know, as we move forward into, you know, the rest of this century. I've just been reading and it's not new, but it is still very small. I've just been reading a fantastic book about the development of the Disney Corporation, you know, and the strategies that they have employed over the last several decades that they've been going. And the strategies they've been using, you know, they are a thriving business. They remain relevant in their marketplace. You know, they have great staff happiness and staff retention. You know, and their profits increase year on year, and they continue to provide an experience for people who go to the Disneylands and the theme parks and the hotels and all of that. You know, they provide an experience that people want to repeat. So they have incredible levels of customer loyalty and repeat customers. So, you know, there is something to this, I can guarantee you. I mean, that's the book I'm reading at the moment, but there are, you know, incredible numbers now of books about bringing all of this stuff into the workplace. Another one I can really recommend is a book called, you know, Why the Way We Are Working Isn't Working. And it is a fantastic breakdown of basically how we need to flip the way we're working on its head. And it was such an eye-opening book for me. I really recommend that one. And there's a happiness researcher by the name of Sean Accor, and he wrote a book called The Happiness Advantage. Again, highly recommend that if you're interested in looking into how to implement this stuff in the workplace and how it can make a difference to your staff, to your company's profitability, but just to general happiness, like the culture that you create at work, how it feels when people are in the workplace. And that really goes an incredibly long way towards making people happy and feeling joy in the workplace. And we're going to be talking about, you know, why, some of the biology of why that actually happens. So why that actually makes a difference for how people are productive, how engaged they are, how committed they are to the company's success. It is such a depth and breadth of, it's like a tool, like, you know, bringing joy and happiness into the workplace can create these results that often I find managers and business leaders are looking for within their teams, you know, within their individual staff members, but also within the performance and profitability of the company. So it's really worth having a think about, like, where are you right now with that? You know, how happy would you say your staff and your company, what's the culture like? it's a lot of things to really think about. It's quite a broad subject, but there are so many ways that we can really make a difference here in terms of individual happiness and the results that we're getting. So staff happiness is a metric that matters. And we're going to be breaking it down a little bit within the next sections and having a look at what does that actually look like and what can we actually do about it. So if you stay listening, and we'll be getting into more of that when we get to the next section. See you then.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Main. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmain.com.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Are you done being afraid to jump into the life that's waiting for you? Are you ready for a real shift? I invite you to tune in every Tuesday with me, Tracy L, on the Tracy L Clark Show, where we will teach you how to live your extraordinary life. At 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I will provide the tools and the steps needed to help you transcend perceived limitations and move forward with an extraordinary life. For more information, visit me at TracyLClark.com.
Golden Otter Divinations Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in the first Friday every month at 9 a.m. Pacific as Autumn, educator, health coach, and medium, explores metaphysical and mainstream strategies on how to elevate your level of conscious living. Draw in the abundance that is yours by divine right. For more information about working with Autumn, visit goldenotter.us. That's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal.us.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Defining success and putting minds to work. With the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series, Rudy Racine will help you craft your personal definition of success, offering support and guidance as you move forward towards your goals. Take the leap. With the right mix of focus and motivation, anything can be achieved. Tune in every first and third Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 Eastern, and for more information on Rudy Racine and Higher Learners, visit Rudy's site at higherlearners.com. That's H-I-R-E learners.com.
Welcome back to Give Me the Joy, the radio show with Lynn Horde, the Joy Coach. Excited to have you again listening in today. We are talking about why happy employees equate to a happy company. So I've just been talking about all of the reasons why staff happiness is a metric that matters. It's the going forward into the future is the thing that companies are really going to need to focus on in order to retain staff, to actually make sure they remain market leaders or move ahead in that space. There are many reasons why, you know, happy staff is really important nowadays. So the next thing I wanted to talk about is a question I hear a lot and I get asked a lot. It's like, how do I make my employees more productive? So let's get practical here. So when we're talking about productivity, it's we think about it as efficiency, you know, ways to make our staff more efficient. But what we're actually needing to be talking about is how do I make my staff more engaged? So, and that's what happens obviously sometimes when I talk to people about this, is they're thinking about productivity as like time management tools, you know, productivity hacks, you know, tech solutions that can you do the back end stuff. There's always ways that we think about this as shaving time essentially so that we can produce more. And they all certainly help, and they're all needed, and they're great resources to be drawing on. But in terms of, we're talking about humans here, so that's not all of the equation. So those things, think about the ways, look at the head, like how can we get someone to think differently? How can we get them to do tasks more efficiently? You know, how can we tweak a process here, change a mindset there, and get the result that we're looking for? But, and I know you know this, but sometimes we forget in the workplace, we're not robots, right? You know, we don't like to be robots. We don't like to be told necessarily to do things in a certain way or fit into a certain box. You know, we are humans and we really like to be seen that way. We like to be, you know, treated like humans. You know, and that's really the secret here. And we're talking about productivity. The secret is to recognize that the humans that you want to do the tasks are actually humans. And it's not always the way that we approach things when we're talking about how to do this. Now, the reason that this is important is because as humans, you know, we are thinking and feeling machines. And that feeling part is often left out of the equation or often gets ignored when we're talking about the workplace. So, I mean, putting it real simply, if you're looking for your staff to be more productive, you need to find a way to get their heart involved with the process. So we need to flip our thinking from how can I manage their methods to how can I get them motivated. And I'm talking about intrinsically motivated. So that motivation that comes from the self, you know, not from an outward incentive. So look, raises and staff incentive packages, you know, they are all bonuses, you know, they're great and certainly they can give us a little bit of an extra kick. But if you're looking to build real sustainable intrinsic motivation in your employees, you know, that's something that actually needs us to go deeper. That needs us to go into their hearts. You know, what is it that really motivates you? What drives you here? Now, this is a big topic, you know, 100%. So we've only got a certain amount of time together today. And so there are many things that we could talk about when it comes to like, how do I make my staff more productive? You know, we could talk about things like wellness in the workplace and how do we reduce stress and increase resilience, because stress is obvious stress, which can lead to burnout. And, you know, all of those things really take away from people being productive when they're feeling overworked and overstressed. We could talk about, you know, how to help people create good self-care practices. You know, how do we help them understand where their boundaries are, where their limits are, and not just that, but how do they then communicate those things? Because that's really important. You know, if your staff isn't letting you know as a boss that actually I'm about to implode here and have a mental breakdown if you don't, you know, kind of do something about my workload, and they're kind of hiding that really well, then that's difficult for you to help them solve that problem. So it's like, how do we help them learn how to communicate those things? You know, we could talk about, as leaders, you know, how do we lead with kindness and compassion and with humanity ourselves? Like, how do we show ourselves to be vulnerable? You know, Brené Brown is been huge in moving that work forward and bringing vulnerability into leadership and showing how that makes an incredible difference to the connections and the commitment that you can raise within your employees. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that later. You know, we could also be talking about how do we talk about offering like flexible ways of working and giving trust back to your employees that they know how they work best? Now, I know that's a big one, and there are a lot of companies who don't bring that into the workplace. But it's an incredible results. And that book that I just mentioned, like Why the Way We're Working Isn't Working, they share some incredible stories and case studies about how when we give that trust back to our employees and allow them, you know, within their like 9 to 5 or whatever their job parameters are, when we let them actually change that into a way that works for them, so they create their own flow rather than be dictated by, you know, past traditional ways of working. It's incredible the creativity but not to mention the productivity that results when we give that trust over to our employees to create and choose how they want to work. So, I mean, all of those things are something that we could talk about. And actually, just on that topic, because it's come to my mind, I'll tell you a great case study. You know, it's incredible what can be done when you give people that trust to do what they want to do in their workplace. So KPMG, which is a big, obviously, accounting firm, it's a well-known name across the world, they brought in some consultants to improve efficiency and productivity in their workers during the busiest time of their year, so, of course, tax time. One of the consultants, one of the suggestions from the consultants was actually to allow the accountants to determine how they work best. And one of the things they suggested to the employees was, like, if you think that taking a break in the middle of the day would allow you to be more productive, and they had suggested this based on knowing that it can often work that way, they said, you know, allow your employees to take their hour lunch, you know, to go to the gym in the middle of the day. And of course there was resistance because, you know, to some managers that idea is like, well, you'll mean they're going to be working less hours. So, you know, why would I be okay with that? But of course they'd committed to trying different ways of working because they knew that they'd pretty much tapped out their accountants to this point. And obviously, during the tax time, you know, they'd be working 12, 14 hours, you know, ridiculous hours in the day, and they also knew it wasn't sustainable. So the consultants gave them this suggestion, and actually, so they implemented it. And you know what I'm going to say here, don't you? That actually resulted in not only did the accountants work less hours, they produced better work. They actually did get more done. So they got more done in less time. Now, why is that? Because taking that break from work actually makes us so much more productive when we come back to work. You know, studies show that we are not meant to work, hour by hour in front of our computers, you know, sat at our desks. We do not, as a species, operate best that way. It is shown that we work best in 90-minute cycles. So this suggestion by the consultants was tapping into that research and that knowledge that when we take breaks from work, we're actually more focused, more present, and more productive when we are back at our desk doing our work because we've had that break. It's incredible what can happen when you take a rest from your work and when you allow your employees to take rest breaks, to understand that that's the way that we work. So just another way that we can work with productivity, and another way that we could talk about, an element that should be talked about when it comes to helping people more productive. But one of the ways I really want to talk about this with you today is around asking the question, how do we find excitement, or how do we help our employees find excitement in their work? Now, of course, this is the Gimme the Joy show after all, so naturally that's the one that I want to talk to you about. So as I said, like when I go in and talk to people about this stuff, all of those other things are covered. But in the time we have today, I just want to talk to you a little bit about helping your staff find excitement in their work. So let's break this down. So it's asking the questions, it's getting really curious and asking the questions, you know, what tasks or projects do the people in your team enjoy the most? You know, in their job role at the moment, which are the bits that they excel at the most? Which are the bits that they seem to find the most enthusiasm for? You know, which are the bits where they seem to have the most energy? Where are the places that they are naturally talented or have mad skills, like mad tech skills or mad some other kind of mad skills in their job? And then the questions to be asking are, so if they have those skills, how do I help them how do I facilitate them using those skills more? You know, maybe, you know, as your role as a leader is to help them see where those skills are. So maybe you have a new employee or a young employee, or maybe you've got an employee who's doesn't even realize they're good at this particular thing. So it's then asking, you know, helping them see that, like holding up a mirror and helping them see where they're really good at. So it's like, so how do I facilitate them finding that excitement? How do I facilitate them then doing more of that? You know, where else in the company, you know, if they can't utilize it in that team, where else in the company can they utilize it? You know, how can I find a way as their leader and someone who wants to help them develop and find happiness at work? You know, how can I facilitate them growing in that space in their role or in this company? You know, and as a manager, so this is about actually, and this is what we come back to, and I'll keep coming back to this in this show today, is like seeing the person in front of you as a human being who has desires in life. And the truth is, most people do actually want to do a really good job. And as a manager, you can facilitate that by helping them show that you care. This is one of the big things. Like, help them see that you care about whether they enjoy their job, that you care about what excites them in their work and in the workplace. You know, and if you can do that, if you can help people find that excitement, like that, what lights their heart up when it comes to their job, and it could be small things, it could be big things, you know, so it's not just about the job and the task, it's about the people, it's about the particular projects, it's, you know, the environment, like do they like going out to, you know, do business development, or do they like nurturing relationships? You know, what is it? In the last episode, I actually talked about if you don't know and you really want to facilitate that, it's actually helping people take personality profiling tests. I mean, it's incredible what can come out of those. You know, the very first time I did a personality profiling tool, it really changed the way I viewed myself. Extraordinary. I had always thought about myself, I perceived myself as a detailed person, you know, just someone who kind of get in and got the job done. But that's kind of I never thought of myself as someone who was creative. If you had said that to me, I would have said, oh, no, I'm not really a creative person. And then I did this profiling tool when I was in my first role as a manager, and it really blew my mind because my biggest strengths were actually in creativity, in ideas, and in building relationships with people. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, wow. It was almost like I gave myself permission to own those parts of myself. And ever since that day, especially building my own business and working for myself, you know, I can see 100% now they are so the areas that I excel in. And one of the reasons I love my job so much is I have built it around those things. So, I mean, whether you're self-employed or whether you work for yourself, whether you work within a company, you know, being able to do those things, that work in those spheres that really light you up, make an incredible amount of difference to how much satisfaction you get, how happy you are to go to work every day, you know, how you're willing to kind of go the extra mile at work. So it's really, profiling is a really big thing if you haven't already done something like that. And I mean, happiness and joy, and this is the thing we're here, happiness and joy are motivating emotions. So that's why this is such a big deal. This is why we talk about how do you help people find joy and happiness, because they are motivating emotions. When we get to do things that make us happy, you know, it gives us a boost, it makes us feel competent, makes us feel good at something. And guess what happens when we feel those things? We want to do more of it. It motivates us to do that task, to find ways to do that thing again. So it's really an incredible thing to be able to do. So that's right there is the place to start. Find out what gets your people excited, and don't forget to start with yourself as well. You need to be excited too. Okay, so we're going to take a break now, and when we get back, I'm going to be talking about how do we get our staff even more engaged. I'll be right back.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
If you're dealing with fear and anxiety, you've probably noticed that the more you fight these emotions, the stronger they seem to get. Dr. Friedemann Schaub, the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, explains that instead of suppressing, we need to identify and resolve the deeper, subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety. His personal breakthrough program has helped thousands worldwide to overcome their emotional challenges. To learn more, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com and schedule your free consultation with Dr. Schaub now.
The knowledge book, currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world, accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the knowledge book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on transformationtalkradio.com.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough, overcome life's greatest challenges, and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit SeattleHealingHypnosis.com for more information.
Are you done being afraid to jump into the life that's waiting for you? Are you ready for a real shift? I invite you to tune in every Tuesday with me, Tracy Al, on the Tracy Al Clark Show, where we will teach you how to live your extraordinary life. At 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I will provide the tools and the steps needed to help you transcend perceived limitations and move forward with an extraordinary life. For more information, visit me at TracyLClark.com.
Welcome back to the Gimme the Joy Show. Today, we are talking about why happy staff equate to a happy company. So before the break, I was talking about productivity. And so now we're going to go even deeper and talk about how do I get my staff to be more engaged? Or the question I often hear is, how do I get my staff to go the extra mile? So this might look like, you know, people who are willing to stay late to finish, you know, that document, even though obviously it's past their time to go home. It might be someone in a call center, you know, making sure they've called that customer back, even if it's, you know, after hours, to give them an update on whatever's going on with the project. You know, it's like someone who works in retail and they pick up the trash from the shop floor, even if their boss isn't looking, you know, or someone who tidies up the break room just because they want it to look nice for everybody else, even though it's not really their job. You know, so it's little things, it's small, it's big things. It's like what motivates somebody to actually go that extra mile? So before we dive into some practical ways to do that, let's have a look at what Forbes describes employee engagement as, because this is really kind of crucial. The magazine says employee engagement is the emotional commitment an employee has to an organization and its goals. So this, you know, emotional commitment means they're engaged employees who actually care about their work and the company's success. Because when you are emotionally invested in something, you are more motivated. So this is what we're talking about, the whole difference between the head and the heart and making sure we get the two of them brought into work, not just one, because that real motivation, that sustainable motivation, comes from the heart. It's what makes us want to contribute in whatever way we can to creating a positive outcome, you know, positive outcome for the project, for our team, and ultimately for the company. You know, and this is why staff engagement is one of the big secrets to sustainable performance, which is something else out there in the working world that we're looking for. You know, people to perform, be able to perform consistently, you know, not to the point of burnout, but in a sustainable way. You know, because the truth is, you know, employees who are invested in the company's outcomes are naturally and consistently motivated to do their best work. And that's what we really want, isn't it? And here's the thing. We often think that people don't necessarily want to do their best job, or we perceive them as, you know, they come to work and they do their paycheck, but they don't necessarily, you know, go that extra mile as we're talking about. But most people, I'm not saying everybody, but most people really do want to do a good job, honestly. And what we lack is we don't know what we're doing. We don't know what we're in service to. You know, we can't see how we're contributing, and we're going to be talking about all of those things as we go along. So here's another interesting stat for you. So a Gallup study from, I think it was 2010 to 2012, I'm sure they've done one more recently, I should check that out, showed that in America, 70% of employees are not engaged at work. So that is a huge tranche of the working sphere who are not engaged at work, don't care about the company, aren't committed to its success at all. You know, so it's a curious thing to wonder, like, so where do you think your company is right now? You know, whether you are a leader in the company or you're an employee, like, what would you guesstimate is the percentage of people who are engaged? You know, so if the average is 70% of employees are not engaged in work, would you say your company's average? Would you agree that that's roughly where you are? Are you doing much better? So you've got 50% engagement. It's something to really consider, because that's the starting point for knowing what to do next, is like, where do we think we are at this time? And, you know, that really makes a difference. This engagement piece, you know, really makes a difference. And we're talking about here, back to the, you know, we're humans, we are thinking, feeling machines. So how do we get the feeling involved? How do we get our people to care about our company? How do we get them to commit to our goals? And how do we get them motivated to want to help us achieve those goals, you know, together? And we're going to be talking about some specific things that will actually support that. So the very first one is really helping people understand the vision for your company. You know, the big picture matters. So we've been talking about, you know, on an individual level, like, how do you get someone excited about their role and their tasks and what they do on a day-to-day basis? But the big picture really matters too. You know, companies who share the big vision for what they are trying to achieve, and they can help staff see how they can contribute to that, goes a huge way to increasing engagement and facilitating and sparking somebody's motivation. You know, people want to know that what they are doing makes a difference, you know, that what they are doing matters somehow. And so business leaders and, like, team managers, you know, they need to help people join the dots if they can't see it clearly for themselves. So, you know, questions to think about, you know, are you, is there a company, a cross-company way to understand the vision? Is that clear for people? You know, do you tell staff what the vision is? Do you tell staff what your company values are? Are you clear on what your company values are? Because these are all ways that people know what they're moving towards, where the direction is. You know, we all work better when we know what the goal, that the big picture goal that we're working towards. It's like, you know, what's the end game for everybody here? And it's really important when you're sharing that vision is, you know, one of the pieces that companies often miss is it has to have an emotional element to that vision, okay? The vision and the mission of the company, it really needs to have an emotional piece. So I was working with an events management firm a year or so ago, and this was the piece that was missing. It was like, well, what would motivate our staff to actually want to create in the world? You know, so they were really a really cutting edge company, and they wanted to shake up the event sphere and offer and produce large events that, you know, basically turned heads, you know, showed people it could be done differently, showed them to be innovators in the events world. You know, and that really got everybody fired up because they were all creative. You know, they wanted to really make a difference in the industry in that way. You know, so everybody was so super excited about that because it really plugged into their emotion. So that's something to really think about. How is your vision being communicated? You know, is it clear? Is it accessible for everybody? And then all the way down to, you know, as a manager having meetings with individual employees, can they see how their role is contributing to that bigger picture? Can they see how they're not just a cog in the wheel, but they are an integral part of making the vision happen? So that's a huge way that we can help staff really feel committed and really care about the outcomes. You know, so it's that bigger picture piece that's really, really important. You know, some other practical ways to do that is, you know, down to like if you're talking about particular sectors of the company, like the sales team, for instance, you know, is there a way, is it clear on what they're trying to bring in sales-wise? You know, is there a way of tracking across the month or whatever your period of tracking is? You know, are you tracking how much money they're bringing in and how close, how much progress they're making towards their sales? Because just as human beings, like seeing that we are making progress helps us want to close the gap. That's the way our minds work. It's really brilliant, actually. It's like, you know, as individuals, if you track your, as a business owner, if you track your monthly income and you gradually see yourself get to get to the goal, you know, you ultimately want to close the gap and you find ways to close the gap. So that's also the other, the thing here as in terms of the human psyche, we want to close the gap. So if you help people understand where we are in terms of progress to the end goal, people ultimately get creative and they find solutions to help you close the gap. So just some ways to think about there. So how are you sharing the vision and what are the ways that you can keep doing that for your organization and your people? So the second thing here is relationships. I will always be talking about how we can build better relationships. It doesn't matter whether it's in the workplace, whether you want to make more money as an entrepreneur, whether you want to have better intimate relationships, it doesn't matter. This is, you want to have more joy in your life. Relationships are always a way because it's been shown, research shows that, you know, forming of relationships, the human connections make such a massive difference to our lives. So in the workplace, you're encouraging your people and your teams to form relationships, you know, and see it as a boon for the company. Because I know sometimes people can look at it, see people having a chat, you know, in the break room, or, you know, sitting at their desk, maybe chatting to their neighbor, and they're like, oh, you're not working. And, you know, secret, I'll let you know a little secret. I probably did think that when I was a manager, first of all, as well, I would see people having a chat and not doing their work. And I'm like, what are you doing? Come on, people, get back to it. But now I know better, thankfully. You know, and I know that relationships give us so many things. You know, they help reduce stress in the workplace. They help teams be more connected and be more collaborative and work better together. You know, and also they help us find support, you know, in the workplace and give us the ability to be more creative, and they encourage people to suggest ideas. So there are so many benefits, you know, from the well-being side, mental health side, to what you can produce as teams. But also relationships are what form the reasons that we ultimately want to go to work. You know, there's a great study it's just gone out of my head. I'll have to come, I have to find my notes after the break and come back to you on that one. But this is all about, so we're talking about relationships, and if we want people to emotionally care and feel committed to the workplace, then who we work with is often one of the biggest pieces. I was talking to a guy at my local tennis club, and he's a manager and does transformation work in companies, and he said that, like, it's always about the people. It's always about how we feel about the people that we work with. So as a company, how are you encouraging better relationships within your work? How do you conflict manage within your work? You know, are you putting in place things that allow people to feel connected? So a business I worked with recently, you know, they have a Monday meeting every morning on Mondays. And the first 10 minutes of that is helping people to simply connect over what they did on the weekend. And the manager who I was working with, she said, you know, we actually had to take that out of, because we thought we'd run out, we lost staff, we didn't have enough time anymore. So we took that out of our Monday meeting. It was literally just about a bang, 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 this is what's on this week. And she said, I noticed the impact almost immediately on the staff morale, on their ability to kind of manage their emotions when they were feeling stressed. She's like, it made such a difference. Just like 10 minutes on the Monday morning meeting where we allowed people just to connect over common ground, over what they did on the weekend, have a bit of a laugh. She said it set our week up amazingly. And when we took it out, it made such a difference. So really something worth thinking about. How are you managing that in your workplace? Because that human connection forms the web of caring that contributes to people feeling more engaged and wanting to go that extra mile at work. So there are a couple of things there. Vision and relationships, really important. So when we come back, I'm going to talk about one more thing that could really make a difference in helping people feel happier and more engaged at work. I'll be right back.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher, Sarah Luce, brings her unique style to the hit show, Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuce.com.
Let It Go Radio. The future awaits you. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Barbara Scheidegger explores the way to clarity, peace, and how to live a successful life on your terms by turning negative experiences into positive ones. Barbara's curiosity about the human experience drives her both personally and professionally. As a life coach, author, and renowned clinical hypnotherapist, Barbara knows how to move forward in a natural, organic way without side effects. If you want to grow, be sure to tune in to Let It Go Radio. To learn more, visit letitgohypnosis.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Would you like your next chapter to be free from fear and angst? Tune in to Your Next Chapter Radio, navigating through life's transitions with Shelley Ryan the fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shelley's contagious enthusiasm guides you through life's transitions deliberately, mindfully, and funnily. For Your Next Chapter coaching or to listen, visit YourNextChapterCoaching.com or call 602-617-8351. Next!
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
Hello, welcome back to Give Me the Joy. Today we are talking about happiness in the workplace and how having happy staff results in a happy company. So we've talked about vision and relationships and productivity and engagement. And so the last thing I wanted to talk to you about today was how to help someone feel valued at work and why that matters. So I'm going to start with a question. So do you actively look for opportunities to catch your people doing things right? It's not necessarily a way that we think about being a manager. And it's certainly in my working history, you know, I haven't had a lot of bosses who've thought about that, who've gone out of their way to find things to share with me that I've done right. And it's incredible the result that can do, the result that can have. And so another thing to think about, I mean, so every company does performance feedback in some way or another. So is your performance feedback regular? Is it informal? Like, do you just go up and have a chat with somebody and ask, like, how are you doing? How's that project going? You know, and is it solutions focused? You know, or is, your culture, your feedback culture one where it's very rare? It's more often focused on mistakes and what people didn't do and where employees need to do better. So, I mean, if you think about if you've been in either one of those situations, I mean, the simple question is which one felt better? Which one motivated you to do a better job? Which one actually supported you to do a better job? So I know that culturally, you know, we are taught to, you know, we are very self-critical as individuals, and we certainly can be. You know, and we're taught that, you know, everyone's taught about the, I think it's called the feedback sandwich, so positive, negative, positive. You know, but there is other ways that we can do that. And one of the things that I've noticed out there in the workplace is we need to be sharing more positive feedback, more appreciation, more acknowledgement of what people did right than where they potentially have gone wrong. Because the thing, you know, remember, like we respond better, and research shows hands down we respond better to positive feedback. We feel less stressed at work. We feel safer at work. You know, I'm sure everybody, you know, you've probably had that feeling. I know I certainly have, of when my boss comes around, I'm like, oh, he's just going to tell me what I've done wrong, because that's what because that's what he always tells me. You know, and it's like really kind of getting clear on, you know, that positive acknowledgement is good for you. It's good for building rapport. It's good for that care and commitment, and it's good for the individual. I mean, I certainly have had some nightmare examples of, you know, managers who were very old school, you know, had learnt that leading was all about basically putting the fear of God in people. And my first career was as a journalist, and I was working for a local newspaper, you know, many years ago now. And there was a particular editor, he was a man, and he was known for making all of the women in the office cry. I mean, that was his level of leadership and compassion when it came to his employees. You know, so he certainly wasn't grounded in that way of being where, you know, you can actually facilitate and foster someone's growth. Luckily, you know, many years later, I had a boss who was very different, and it was my first experience of having someone in a leadership position who really listened to what I had to say, who acknowledged me for, you know, when I did a good job. And do you know, the funny thing about that was I remember a particular instance where he shared some feedback around an area of growth I had when it came to being a manager. And when he said it to me, I didn't even get defensive, and I was like, you know, you're right, because I knew that he was saying it from a place of being supportive and wanting me to grow as an individual, because that is what he had consistently showed me in the 2 years that I had been working for him. So it makes such a difference when your employees know that you're on their side, that you care about them. And one of the ways that we can really do that is helping people feel acknowledged and appreciated at work. And let's not underestimate that. So what does appreciation do for us? Because it works on the bigger picture level and also the individual level. So on a bigger picture level, you know, when we are acknowledged, and I would always encourage you to be really specific in your acknowledgement. So when we acknowledge somebody for the work that they've done, you know, and we help them join that dots, like I talked about before around the vision, we help them join the dots between what it is that you are doing and how that is impacting the company and where it's going and helping it progress towards its goals. You know, we get a huge rush of that inner achievement, that inner belonging. It's like, wow, you know, I made a difference, and I am part of this team that is creating the vision and progressing towards this bigger goal that I'm engaged with. And it makes us feel like we belong. I mean, that's one of, you know, especially out there in today's modern life, where isolation and feeling lonely is one of the biggest things that people are struggling with, whether you're in a relationship or not in a relationship even. You know, if we can find somewhere that we belong, and you can create that as a manager in your workplace, I mean, you'll have somebody who is loyal, who feels, you know, committed to the company and committed to you as their manager. So it is an incredible tool if you can learn to show appreciation verbally or verbally with your staff members. So that's kind of like a bigger picture thing. But appreciation also works on a level of, you know, helping somebody do a better job. So when we are acknowledged and appreciated for our work, you know, we grow in confidence. Like, it really boosts our sense of self-worth and our confidence that we can do a good job. You know, we get the spike of all those feel-good chemicals, you know, which motivates us to repeat the behavior again. So this is the very simple human fact that, you know, when we get that surge of emotion, feeling recognized for doing a good job, we want to do it again because we want that surge of emotion again. So it's really worth remembering that, you know. And of course, you know, it's always going to be done authentically. So that's the other thing here. So showing appreciation and acknowledgement, it really has to be coming from a place of authenticity. So if you're not somebody who necessarily has done this before, you know, it's worth, you know, having a look at some resources and finding out how do I do this. Because I know that, you know, there are many people out there, and I certainly, it's a tool that I have learned. I've really learned how to, you know, as I say, catch somebody when they're doing something right and really acknowledging and appreciating somebody for what they've done. And this isn't necessarily just about tasks. It's about appreciating somebody, like, you know, thank you for having the courage to share that idea with me. You know, I really appreciate you supporting your colleague when she was having that difficult time or when she was feeling stressed. So it's not just about the tasks they're doing. It's about how they're being in the workplace, who they're being as a person, and how they are contributing to not just the goals of the company, but like to the well-being of the people around them. You know, how they're being just an amazing human being really as well. So there are so many things that you can acknowledge and really appreciate somebody for. And honestly, it is really fun when you start doing this and when you start making it a game. So I mean, in a lot of my conversations now, I'm looking for the quality that I can acknowledge in somebody else. And I've done it so often now, it just becomes second nature to me. So if somebody shares a story with me, I'm like, wow, that was really brave, you know, really brave of you to share that with me. You know, thanks for, you know, showing your vulnerability. Or, you know, when somebody just has like a genius idea, I'm like, wow, you know what, your brain works in such an amazing way, you know, I'm really grateful for you sharing that idea with me. So it's really fun, actually, when you start to focus in on how, as an individual, right, how can I today share with you what an amazing human being you are and the contribution that you're making to this team, to this company, and to, you know, what we're trying to do out there in the world. So just appreciation is such an amazing thing, and I highly encourage, if you're listening as a leader, like encourage it in, and encourage it in your team as well, like as individuals, help other people develop that skill of showing acknowledgement and appreciation for others. It's really fun. You can actually play games, you know, like you could actually say to your guys, hey guys, we're going to like do an appreciation week or something, and I want you to leave a post-it note somewhere for somebody. It can be anonymous, and just go and share with somebody what they, you really appreciate about them. It's really fun. You can have a, you can make a game of it in the workplace. So that's another idea about how to create happy staff, and eventually that leads to happy employees because they're more productive, more efficient, they produce more, better ideas. You know, companies end up being having, you know, more share in the marketplace and being more profitable. So there are a huge amount of ways that happy staff can actually create happy employees and profitable, happy companies, sorry, and profitable and profitable ones at that. So lots of ideas there and many more where that came from. I gave a couple of book suggestions which you might want to check out. If you're interested in finding out more about how I might be able to help your company with this, just head on over to my website, lynhoard.com. There's a page there called Corporate, and it's a couple of the different ways. I've got a Joy at Work program. I do coaching and run workshops if you're interested. And just in general, if you want to hear more about this conversation, join me over on the Give Me the Joy Facebook group. Over on Facebook, of course. And I really hope you've enjoyed joining in today. If you want to tune in to the next Give Me the Joy show, I'm on every second and fourth Thursday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, and 5 p.m. UK time. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to the Give Me the Joy show, which airs every second and fourth Thursday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, on Transformation Talk Radio. In this hit show, I share very practical, very grounded, and not to mention fun ways to reconnect with joy in your life, work, and relationships. As a certified coach and facilitator, I support individuals and businesses to harness the power of joy to create positive, lasting change in all areas. For more information or to listen to the show, visit lynhoard.com.